morning.
Happy New Year, my friends, and welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and at Barah Ministries, we know this truth, that Jesus Christ is God. And as the Lord, he is 100% deity. He is God the Son. He is also 100% true humanity, just like you and me. He is Jesus Christ. The Lord, God the Son, became flesh, Jesus Christ, and lived among us. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He is the Savior of the whole world, and he is the Jewish Messiah. Those who make Barah Ministry their spiritual home believe in Jesus Christ, and we call ourselves Christians. Christianity is a relationship and not a religion. And as Christians, we have a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to us, Christ is a person, and Christianity is a person. Christ. They are not things. And what religion seeks to do is to make Christ and Christianity things instead of a person. At Barah Ministries, we make a difference by teaching the Word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ's perspective and not from man's perspective. We search the Scriptures to learn who the Lord is as a person and to learn what our God has to say about himself, about his plan for all mankind, and about his personal plan for each one of us, and we strive to see life from his perspective. Today's Bible lesson, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit, and I'm convinced, based on the attendance today, that most believers don't understand that, because when Sunday comes around, the time when you get a chance to gather and have fellowship with other believers in Christ, everything is more important than that for a lot of people. And, you know, there's this intermittent foot-in, foot-out approach. Oh, I'll just listen on the internet approach to things. But the truth of the matter is that, yeah, if, you know, the people who are in the non-resident congregation would be here if they lived here. They wouldn't be listening on the internet. They listen on the internet. They don't like listening on the internet because there's nothing like the personal interaction. And so, you know, sometimes we act like unbelievers, because to unbelievers, the whole idea of interacting with God through his word is just flighty. You know, one of the things I would like you guys to do, and I don't know whether you do this right now, I'd like you to listen to the lesson every week three times. Because, and I'd like you to not fast forward through anything. Right? So, I don't want to listen to Deacon Denny's offering message. Because I could tell a lot of people don't listen to the announcements, because if generally speaking, if the pastor says, hey, I think I have cancer, you know, people will call. And there are a lot of people who listen who didn't call, and so that means that they're listening to parts. You know, that's when you do that, you're treating a person a certain way, and the person is Christ. That's who we love. That's who we worship, Christ. And I don't understand why we get 168 hours a week and then we want to give him short shrift. Because what is this? You know, if it's an hour and a half. If I'm a little verbal, it's 2 hours. And if you listen to it three times, that's 6 hours out of 168 hours a week. Now, is that too much of your time for Christ? Is that an imposition for you? Because you're giving 161 hours to the world. And so I would just, you know, I'm not into beating people up about God. But I would have you entertain the thought that we're in a new year and we're in a new decade, and maybe you could have a new approach to your life. Maybe some of the reason why your life doesn't work the way you want it to is because you don't tap into the power as Christians that you have. And what you have inside of you is supernatural power. So that's what we're talking about. You know, the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is the supernatural power that God has. And we need to talk, we need to tap into it. Because if I stood two people in front of you at this moment and could say with absolute certainty that one of them is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and one of them is not, there would be little else to differentiate them, especially if I put two men up here. And you looked at the man, you'd look at him, you'd say, you know, you'd see things about him. Well, this one's well-dressed, this one isn't. But just from a spiritual standpoint, you wouldn't be able to tell whether they're believers or not. But I would know. All right, so one of them's a believer and one's not. But in the world, that's not our experience. In the world, when we look at people, we don't know whether they're believers in Christ or not. That bothers me. I would rather know. I wish believers in Christ had a cross on their head or something so we could know. Because then I would pay a lot more attention to the people who don't have crosses on their head and get them the information they need about Christ, like this. This is what they need to know. They need to know that they can be saved. And a lot of times we as believers in Christ take a pretty casual attitude toward that. I tell you every time we do the announcement, hey, get somebody to download the app. Do you do it? Because what you could be doing is saving a person from the lake of fire by doing that. That's a big deal. So when we're in the world, if we're people watching at a mall or at a restaurant, there's really no way for us to tell by looking at people if they're believers or unbelievers. God knows. But there's a huge difference between believers in Christ and unbelievers. And as we continue our study of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the believers in the church at first century Corinth, Paul tells us the difference between believers and unbelievers. And the difference is the difference maker, God the Holy Spirit. As believers in Christ, we have God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is a guide and brings us a supernatural power. And that's something that we should be excited about. We're excited about having supernatural powers when we're doing video games. Ooh, let me get my little power crayon. But we don't think about the significance of that power when we're talking about our lives. All right, so that's the introduction. Let's listen to some music. Imagine for a moment that you committed a capital crime. And a capital crime is a crime that carries with it a death sentence. So you're found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the most stringent burden of proof that there is. You're on death row. And your execution is scheduled for 1 week from today. The governor of your state has made it clear that in spite of your numerous appeals, there will be no stay of execution. There will be no delay in carrying out your final judgment. 1 hour before you're to be executed, a man comes forth and volunteers to die in your place. The state agrees to accept this man's sacrifice on your behalf so your life is spared. This is exactly what Jesus Christ accomplished for all of us at the cross. His sacrificial death on your behalf was initiated and allowed by God the Father. Why did he do that? Romans 5:8 tells us God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind in that while we were yet sinners, while we were unrighteous, ungodly unbelievers, the Father sent the Christ, the Messiah, and he died a sacrificial death for us. The motivation for this sacrificial, this sacrifice is love, unconditional love, love that we definitely don't deserve through our actions, not only on the part of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but also on the part of God the Father. So here are Phillips, Craig, and Dean to sing a song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me to life. I know that it is finished. Oh, oh, oh. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ.
Grateful Heavenly Father for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for the new year, for allowing us to live to see a new decade. We thank you for all the blessings of adversity and prosperity you have provided up to this point in our lives that have been lessons designed to teach us who you are and what you have planned for us. Thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, for being gracious toward us, so that we can learn through experiences and mistakes under the sphere of your perfect protection. Father, as we embark on the journey of a new year, one step at a time, we ask you to continue opening our spiritual eyes so that we can see the resources you have provided, the people you have provided, and the divine power you have provided through God the Holy Spirit to guide us on the way to becoming conformed to the image of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to make you a priority in our use of time this year, because you are the only thing that matters in this lost and dying world. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me.
Amen.
Amen. Today's Bible lesson, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. So we continue our study of the third passage of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which extends from chapter 1, verse 10 to chapter 4, verse 21. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is addressing rivalries and dissensions in the Corinthian church. I wonder what the rivalries are and the dissensions are in your life. You know, we hear these things. We hear these things about rivalries and dissensions, and we think about them in terms of the first century church at Corinth. But what about the rivalries and dissensions in your own life? What about the rivalries and dissensions in your own family? Because this instruction is designed to point out to you that these things in your own life are ineffective. Now, when you see that, do you get that lesson? And look, I'm not talking out of school here, because I have been personally involved in a lot of one-sided relationships in my life. And I understand very well, as a matter of fact, if you asked me what kind of relationships I've had with most of my family members, and I have a humongous family. My mom was one of 18 kids. If you ask me what kind of relationships I've had with most of my family members, most of those relationships have been one-sided relationship. I cared a lot about them, and they cared not at all for me. Well, how do you know if somebody cares for you or not? You know by what they do, what they say, what they don't do. You know, people are always asking me, well, you know, what are your relationships like with your siblings? Well, there are three of them, there's one of me, and we don't get along. We never have. Well, why? Why don't you get along with your brothers and sisters, Rory? What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with me. What's wrong is rivalries. What's wrong is divisions. What's wrong is people tolerate that stupid stuff instead of valuing the people that are in their family. I tell a really interesting story. I remember that, you know, getting out of the ghetto was a big deal for me. And I likened it to crossing a bridge. And so when you cross this bridge and you see this whole new life that's out there, the first thing you want to do is you want to run back across the bridge and get your whole family and take them across the bridge with you. So I did that. I went back across the bridge and I said, you guys, you won't believe what's on the other side of the bridge. Come on over. And they're all looking at me like, I don't want to go over there. So I tied them up and dragged them across the bridge. And I showed them this beautiful life. You see what's over here? You see what potential we have? We don't have to stay in the ghetto anymore. And I untied them. And you know what they did? They ran right back across the bridge. Why is that? Choice. Because most of us make choices in our lives that could never be supportive of us having a life. That's why. Most of us, when we sit and listen to the Word of God, it goes in here, it comes out the other side, it doesn't get caught by the thing that's supposed to catch it in the middle. So that's what Paul is talking about here, these rivalries that happened. That's why Barah Ministries isn't 250 people. You know, we've had 250, 300 people come through this church. You know, we got one guy here who was there from the beginning. We got the guy who the church was started for here, right? But between, you know, from going back from that all the way to here, there were 250 or 300 people here, but they're not here. Why? Rivalries, divisions. Oh, I don't like it when the pastor says that we ought to listen to the lesson three times. Okay, well, who's going to tell you that? Who's going to tell you as an adult what you ought to be doing? Nobody, because nobody cares what you ought to be doing. Honestly, that's one of the things I taught my kids. You know, when you get 21, it's going to get real quiet out. Because before 21, I was pretty verbal with them. After 21, I ain't saying jack to them except hello. So who's going to tell you? Well, what's that all about? Rivalries, divisions, jealousies, strife, fighting, envy, and all the goofy things that happen in the flesh that separate us. That is not God's idea for us. And so that's what Paul is addressing. Rivalries and dissensions in the Corinthian church. But he's not just talking about it in the Corinthian church. He's talking about it in your house. He's talking about it in your life, because every one of us have to deal with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 say this, "Now I, Paul, exhort you, beg you, brethren, believers in Christ, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's like saying, I swear. "I beg you that we all agree and that there be no rivalries among us." What's the biggest rivalry among us? Religion. Oh, I like the Bible, but not all of it. I don't like that slant. I think it ought to be like this. Let's make a religion. Oh, my God. That's beautiful. "That all of you agree that there be no rivalries among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same purpose." That's the hardest thing to get people to do, is to be of the same mind, to get along. I was on the elevator yesterday in the airport, and this woman is just ripping her husband, right? And the kids are standing there watching her rip her husband. So I intervene, of course. I said, "You guys, you sound like you're fighting." "Yeah, he's blah, blah, blah." "Oh, so he's got a little estrogen in him?" "No, I don't." And then, you know, so I kind of stirred up the fighting. I did. It was a blast. I mean, it was only a 60-second elevator ride. That was fun to do. But you know, it calmed the situation down because they had a good laugh about it, and they realized how ridiculous they were looking doing that kind of stuff, not only in front of the kids, but in front of strangers about something that really doesn't matter. That's what we do every single day. We mistreat each other. We allow these rivalries and dissensions to create factions. And then all of a sudden we expect that everybody's going to like us and do everything for us when we're ripping them all the time. It's not the way it works. When we're ignoring them, it's not the way it works. Why would somebody do something when they know that you're ignoring them or you're ripping them? People who do help you when that kind of stuff happens, you should kiss their butt. Because that's a person who understands what Christianity is. That's a person who understands what unconditional love is. And we have people like that among us. What does God want for us? Be complete in the same mind and in the same purpose. 1 Corinthians 1:11. For I, Paul, have been informed concerning you, my brethren, in the church at Corinth, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Quit fighting. One of the things I said in the elevator, why can't we all just get along? You know, Rodney King, why can't we all just get along? That's what God wants for us. Well, Paul is communicating subtly and sarcastically about why these rivalries exist. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says this, for the word of God, especially the word of the cross, the gospel message, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Unbelievers. I love going on Facebook and putting my viewpoints out there just to hear people tell me how stupid I am for having those viewpoints, because they're all biblical viewpoints. And people are always telling me how absurd I am and how stupid I am for thinking that. How can an educated person like you think that the Bible is actually the truth? It's beautiful. The word of God, especially the word of the cross, the gospel message, is foolishness to those who are perishing. And those who are perishing are unbelievers. But to us, believers in Christ, who are being saved by it, the word of the cross is the power of God the Father, which is divine omnipotence in action. There it is. There's the rivalry. Unbelievers and believers are in a rivalry. And one of the things that just makes me sick in my stomach so much that I want to throw my fingers down my throat and throw up is hearing people write that you can't know God. You know, faith is blind. That was the strand that I was looking at this morning before I came in. Faith is blind. And the reason people believe what they believe is they blindly follow their parents. Oh, yeah. So everybody just blindly follows their parents. I haven't ever seen a kid who blindly followed a parent. I want a kid like that. Kids don't do that, do they, Denny? No, they don't. What do you got? You got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old in the house? They ain't listening to a word he's saying. So these people who consider themselves to be intellectuals are writing that stupid stuff. One of the great things about Facebook and Instagram is you get to see people's stupidity in writing. There is a permanent record of their stupidity, as opposed to just the stupid stuff that comes out of their mouth. And you get to look at it and examine it and say, did this really come from a thinking person? And then they're bagging on you, you know, they're bagging on me because I think the Bible is the exact thinking of God. They're bagging on me because I think God reveals himself in ways that make sense to human beings. That's the wonderful world we live in. Well, rivalries. Unbelievers in the world see life one way, and Christians see life differently. And rivalry is born. And the people Paul is addressing at Corinth are Christians, no doubt about it, for the Apostle Paul led them to the gospel message personally. Yet they are baby believers, they're immature, they're new to the faith, and they don't have enough biblical instruction under their belts to think as mature believers think. This would be a problem if it were not for the difference maker, God the Holy Spirit. And the next part of the third passage addresses God the Holy Spirit's role in the Christian way of living. Thank God for God the Holy Spirit, because what does he do? He has a ministry to unbelievers. He makes all the things about God crystal clear to unbelievers. from the inside and from the outside. They have no excuse. Romans 1:20 says they have no excuse. For divine power is clearly seen so that they are without excuse. And then for believers in Christ, he matures us if we give him the opportunity, if we understand that the only way you're going to get to know God intimately is by knowing his word. If you're not studying his word, and I didn't say listening to his word, I said studying his word. I didn't say fast forwarding through the music. You know, some of the best Bible study in this hour and a half is the songs. And everybody, when the songs come on, everybody's running all over the place like donuts are more important than the message of those songs. June picks those songs out because they connect to this lesson, and she doesn't even know what I want to write. And the lessons and the songs always connect to the lesson. And there are messages in those songs, powerful messages, in a format, music, that plays over and over and over in your mind. There's a reason that God allowed music. The heavens are full of music. Angels are singing all the time because music just sticks when my shrill voice doesn't. Amen? So that the music's not the time to turn off and tune out. Oh, I don't like that song. Yeah, I don't blame you because some of the stuff that's in those songs, you don't want to hear it. I don't blame you for not liking it because it's a powerful biblical message. I've been listening to a song my whole life, over 50 years. They will know we are Christians by our love. And I heard that song this morning, and I heard it differently. Think about how powerful that is. It ties to this lesson perfectly. They will know we are Christians by our unconditional love. But what do most people think when we show them unconditional love? They think we're stupid. They think we're stupid because we forgive their stupidity. They think we're stupid because we forgive their treatment of us. They will know we are Christians by our love. Do people know you're a Christian by your love? I'm asking you. I'm just asking. So as you listen to this passage, the next passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16, it's important for you to hear the distinction being made, the distinction of a rivalry. Because there's a big difference between how worldly unbelievers see things and how godly Christians see things. Notice the distinction as you hear the passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet Paul referring to himself, we do speak biblical wisdom among those who are mature. And what he means by mature is to the spiritual, believers in Christ, and not to the unspiritual. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, Pilate, Caesar, Herod, Caiaphas, to name a few, rulers who are passing away. They're in power now for a short time, but soon to be dethroned. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. And what Paul is talking about there is the mystery doctrine of the church age, the hidden wisdom, which God the Father predestined before the ages, in eternity past, for our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age comprehend, not Pilate, not Caesar, not Herod, not Caiaphas, because they were all unbelievers and they don't comprehend spiritual wisdom. They think it's stupid because they were in power for a short time. For if they had understood God's wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which the unbeliever's eye has not seen, that's empiricism. The unbeliever's eye, if I can't see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, hear it, it doesn't exist. And things which the unbeliever's ear has not heard, that's rationalism, the stuff that they sought in Athens with all the philosophers, and things which have not entered into the heart of unbelieving man. That's intuition, stuff that we experience in our gut. In other words, unbelievers don't see, don't think, and don't feel in their gut all the things that God has prepared in predestination and foreordination for those who love him, believers in Christ. God thought about you billions of years before you were created. He knew the family he would send you into. He gave you perfect parents. He knew the circumstance that he would put you in. He gave you perfect circumstance. He knew the environment he would put you in. He gave you perfect environment. All designed to shape you into the perfect person that he made you at the moment of salvation. Amen? He's amazing. And you rue your fate. You beat your breasts. You rip your robes. Oh, woe is me. Oh, look at my fate. Oh, pessime ribalde. Oh, miserable person that I am. Quit whining. Perfect God gave you a perfect circumstance. Can you open your spiritual eyes and see the perfection in what he has done for you? Can you see it? I'll tell you the answer to that, if you want to. Do you want to? Most people don't. 1 Corinthians 2:10. For believers in Christ, God the Father revealed these things of biblical wisdom to us through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of the thinking of God the Father. What is that? The Holy Spirit searches the depths of the thinking of God the Father. When you search the depths of the thinking of another person, what is that called? It begins with an I and it ends with a Y. What'd you say, Denise? Intimacy. God the Holy Spirit is intimate with God the Father. Who are you intimate with? Whose thinking do you search? Whose thinking do you know? 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who among humans knows the thoughts of a human except for the spirit of the human which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God the Father no one knows except the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we believers in Christ have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit that exists in the sons of disobedience, not the flesh, but the Holy Spirit indwelling us, who is from God the Father, so that we may comprehend the things freely given to us by God the Father. If you want to know God, God wants you to know him, and he will set it up that that can happen. Amen? You ask God a question, he will answer it. I ask God, why the Trinity? Why would you express yourself as one God in three separate and distinct persons? And he gave me an answer. Because if you're going to bring a witness against somebody, you need to bring two or three witnesses. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all witness Satan's rebellion. And so they can make a court case because they can all testify to what they saw. Amen? That's why the triune Godhead, not to confuse us. 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things we speak about, not in words taught by human wisdom, not words by Aristotle and Socrates and Pliny and Plato and Cicero, but in those words taught by God the Holy Spirit, who combines spiritual thoughts like the gospel message with spiritual words like preaching given by God the Holy Spirit through a pastor who is a nobody. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man, the psychikos man, the unspiritual unbeliever, does not accept the things of God the Holy Spirit. They're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually examined. 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he who is spiritual, believers in Christ, examines all things with the help of the Spirit. Yet he himself is examined by no one, especially not unbelievers. Unbelievers are not equipped from a spiritual perspective, to look at a believer, to listen to a believer, and to understand what the believer is saying. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has come to know the mind of the Lord? And who will instruct the Lord? Two rhetorical questions that have a single answer.
Nobody.
But we believers in Christ have the mind of Christ in the Word of God, in the Bible. This is the mind of Christ. This is not a book. It's housed in a book format, but this is not a book. This is not natural. This is not a novel. This is supernatural. 66 books, 27 of which you're responsible to get into you. And you will have the thinking of the supernatural. All right, so let's look at the contrast we just heard. All right, unbelievers versus believers. Unbelievers are unspiritual, but believers are spiritual. Unbelievers have human wisdom. Believers have the wisdom of God. Unbelievers rely on the rulers of this age knowledge. You know, they're all Trump, all Joe Biden, all Democrat, all Republican. Ugh, makes me want to throw up. But believers in Christ are concerned with God's revealed knowledge. Rory, who did you vote for? Are you a Republican? You always defend Trump. Are you a Republican? I wrote in Jesus Christ. And he won. He's still the ruler of the universe. That's who I voted for. Amen? Unbelievers have the spirit of the world, the flesh. But believers have the Holy Spirit from God. Unbelievers count on their natural perception, but believers in Christ have spiritual discernment. Unbelievers have the natural mind, but believers have the mind of Christ. We are supernatural, not natural. Notice the things we just talked about. Let's listen again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. Yet we, Paul talking about himself, do speak biblical wisdom among those who are mature, to the spiritual, not to the unspiritual. A wisdom, however, not of this age and not of the rulers of this age, the Pilates, the Caesars, the Herods, the Caiaphas, to name a few, rulers who are passing away, in power now for a short time, but soon to be dethroned. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The mystery doctrine of the church age, the hidden wisdom which God the Father predestined in eternity past before the ages to our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age comprehend, not Pilate, not Caesar, not Herod, not Caiaphas, because they were all unbelievers. For if they had understood God's wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but just as it is written, things which the unbeliever's eye has not seen, empiricism, and things which the unbeliever's eye has not heard, rationalism, and things which have not entered into the heart of unbelieving man, intuition, all that God has prepared in predestination and foreordination for those who love him. That should make you wonder, believers in Christ. You should wonder, what is it that God has prepared for those of us that love him? And who are those of us who love him? Believers. We love him. We choose to be on his side. He has prepared things that are exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. You're a child of God. You're a child of a king. You have an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, set aside for you in the heavens. Absolutely amazing. 1 Corinthians 2:10. For believers in Christ, God the Father revealed these things of biblical wisdom to us through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of the thinking of God the Father. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who among humans knows the thoughts of a human except the spirit of the human which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God the Father no one knows except the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because they have an intimate relationship. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we believers in Christ have received not the spirit of this world, that's not who we are to listen to, but the Holy Spirit who is from God the Father, so that we may comprehend the things freely given to us by God the Father. 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things we speak about, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by God the Holy Spirit, who combines spiritual thoughts like the gospel message with spiritual words, which is preaching, given by God the Holy Spirit. When I sit down to write a lesson, I don't know what I'm going to write. And I sit down, and when I start studying the Bible, all these thoughts come to me. All the experiences of the week come back to me. And they just mold themselves into a message that God the Holy Spirit is writing and that I get to put on paper and come and tell you about. You think you're hearing me. You think you're hearing my opinions. You aren't. You're hearing God's opinions. You're hearing what God wants from you. I don't care whether you listen to the Barah Ministries lessons three times or not, but God the Holy Spirit does, because he knows you don't get it the first time. I don't care whether you fast forward through Denny or not. Just don't fast forward through me. Amen? Don't worry, Denny. They don't fast forward through you. They fast forward through June. But God the Holy Spirit cares. God the Holy Spirit cares that you learn how to concentrate, because he doesn't want you to be like these 20-somethings who are sitting in airports with their parents on a world-class vacation, all expenses paid by their parents, whose the highlight of their week is being curled up on a couch with their phone, staring at their phone like the phone is God. And completely ignoring the people who paid for them to be there. Completely missing the beauty of the amazing experience. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, the unspiritual unbeliever, doesn't accept the things of the Holy Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually examined. But he who is spiritual, believers in Christ, examines all things with the help of the Spirit, yet he himself is examined by no one, and especially not by unbelievers. For who has come to know the mind of the Lord? No one. Who will instruct the Lord? No one. But we believers in Christ have the mind of Christ in the Word of God, the Bible, the inerrant canon of Scripture. Well, Paul's subtle message is that the believers in Christ at Corinth would do well to be reflective. And this is the time of the year for reflection. Do you reflect? Because they're not acting like spiritual royalty. They're not acting like children of a king, children of God. They're not acting like people indwelled by the entire triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're acting in ways that make them seem like there's no difference between them and unbelievers. There's a huge difference between unbelievers and believers. How about you? When people look at your life, do they see reflected power of the difference maker, God the Holy Spirit? Can people see a difference between you and unbelievers? Do people ever say to you, you know, there's something different about you? You're special. Does anybody ever say that to you? If they don't, then they're probably seeing the exact same thing they see when they interact with an unbeliever. And if you're at the center of rivalries in your relationships, the answer to that question, do people see a difference, is an absolute no. Now, when we return from our five-minute break, we'll study this section verse by verse, and we'll let God the Holy Spirit reveal the truths he's communicating to believers today. The five-minute break song is Nobody by Casting Crowns.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line, with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
had stage fright. When David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever wanna be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Just a nobody,
no,
trying to tell everybody all about somebody.
Ooh,
who saved my soul.
Gonna save my soul.
Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing.
Song to
I'm
sing.
Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
I'm living for the world. Nobody but Jesus.
Today's Bible lesson, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. Well, when you're giving, what's important to God is your attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says this, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we give, God wants us to give voluntarily, thoughtfully, cheerfully, prayerfully, generously, and enthusiastically. So check your attitude as you give, believers in Christ. Make sure your attitude is an exact reflection of the voluntary, thoughtful, cheerful, prayerful, generous, and enthusiastic sacrifice that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, made on your behalf at the cross. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with the offering message.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon for Bra Ministries, a worldwide Christian church where real people come to listen to a real pastor teach the real truth from the Word of God. And this year I thought of doing something different after our Christmas lesson and all the predictions about God. I was just fixated on that. I thought it was pretty amazing, the fact that he predicted where he would be born, who he would be born from, and you know that he'd be born from a virgin, and just crazy to think, you know, who can make so many predictions about their life and have it come true. So I thought of, instead of doing a resolution this year, I'm just going to do predictions for my life. Right? It's more fun. But then you start predicting things, you know, like who can predict stuff for their own life? You start predicting bad things, you know, like, oh, I know bills and death and taxes and nothing good, right? But we also have salvation, and we also have, you know, a secure victory that we know we have. And so you think, you know, can I make predictions about my life, and what predictions does God have for my life? And it's really easy to see. You look, go to the Bible, right, and you see all kinds of predictions. You can see predictions about David, about Israel, you know, what's going to happen with them. We can see rumors of wars and wars all the time. We're going to have war every year. And like Pastor said before, the media, they have the 10, 12 stories they play over and over and over. You can predict all those coming this year. And, you know, so what do we do? What are we to do? Just sit there and rue the day that we have to predict and worry about life? And we really don't, because, you know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, because God has plans for us and God has predictions for us. And he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So as we predict 2020, we can have hope. We know for sure that it's not going to be calamity. We'll have some ups and some downs, of course, right? We might not be able to predict all the specific things that happen, but we know we're going to have our bills will get paid, because Christ is going to give us the money we need. We know our prayers will be answered. Thank you, Pastor, for your prayers being answered. And we know the Spirit's going to help us, and Jesus is going to help us every time we pray, so that the Father knows what we're praying for. And, you know, it's funny, because I think this year I can predict the future for sure, because I have 20/20 vision. What? Nothing? Nothing? No? Oh, okay. All right, well, then I thought of a new policy then, too. We'll go with, you know, like Pastor said, we really do need to, he said he's the only one telling us that we need to listen to the lesson 3 times. Well, I think we need to listen to the lesson 5 times. And we need to transfer that to the offering as well. We need to do the offering 5 times, right, a week. I'll just stop by your house maybe, make it easy, whatever we need. But seriously, if we think about it, we really don't have to worry. You know, we start worrying about, you know, where should I go? Where should I live? What should I do next? You know, what's my next move? And then we doubt. We predictably doubt what we're going to do. We think, no, I can't move on my own. No, I can't go out on my own and do a new job. Or, no, I can't move to a new place, investigate new things. Or, no, I can't come to church on Sunday because I don't want to have to do my hair. Like, it's just, why not just come to church? You know, why just predict that God, the only thing that we can predict is God's plan, right? What the Bible says. And that's 100% truth. So let's just go there and listen to what that has to say. So that's why it's so important to be at church, to listen to 3 or 4 times a week, because it does hit you different every time. And you hear certain things. Like Pastor heard a song he's heard forever, and today it hit him differently. And it awoke something. It's based on the new experiences and based on the new knowledge you have. And so thank you for always giving, and, you know, let's have a great new year. Let's continue to just count on giving to giving to God, and giving as worship, because it just shows where your heart is at and what your love is, what a Christian's real love is. So thank you for showing your love, and Happy New Year. Thank you.
Today's Bible lesson, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. Well, there aren't many people, there are many people on earth today who don't believe the sign that hangs above my head, the sign that says Jesus Christ is God. Yet every creature, both angelic and human, will meet the Lord Jesus Christ one day face to face. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11 say this: being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2:9, for this reason also God the Father highly exalted Jesus Christ and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and of those who are on the earth and of those who are under the earth. Philippians 2:11, and so that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is deity. Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. Here's a group called Jesus Culture to sing about our Lord, the one who is unconditional love. And they say love has a name. Can you guess love's name? Today's Bible lesson, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the Spirit. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16, verse by verse. Let's see what God has to tell us in this section of the third passage of 1 Corinthians. Yet we do speak biblical wisdom among those who are mature, that is, to the spiritual, not the unspiritual. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, like Pilate, Caesar, Herod, and Caiaphas, to name a few, rulers who are passing away, in power for now, for a short time, but soon to be dethroned. See, unbelievers don't see spiritual wisdom as real wisdom. They prefer human intellect. They prefer the what-if speculations of the world. What if there's life on another planet? And when, at the end time, what if aliens come down on a spaceship? And what if there really is reincarnation? What would you come back as? Well, I'd come back as a boxing glove so I could punch you in the face. Well, Paul doesn't want the believers in Christ at Corinth, or any believers for that matter, to adopt the same approach to wisdom. We're not like the Greeks. We're not getting into all the philosophical arguments and all the stuff. That's why I hate listening to the news and I hate reading social media posts, because it's all this what-if philosophy. And it's just empty because it's coming from the intellect, human wisdom. And human wisdom just isn't good enough. Human wisdom never solved anybody's problem. When you think you have cancer, human wisdom doesn't solve it. You know, you can read all you want to about what the prostate ought to be and what the prostate ought to do or what the colon ought to do. I had a friend of mine call me and tell me he has colon cancer. And, you know, you can tell me all about what the doctors said, or my friend calls me and says his wife has brain cancer. You can tell me all the doctors told her she has 2 to 4 months to live. What a crock. Any doctor ever tells me that, I'm gonna punch him in their face. They don't know how long I have to live. I can't tell you how many times doctors have said that and the people live 20 more years. We don't listen to doctors. We don't listen to human intellect. We don't listen to the world. We don't give up. Not ever. The world's telling us to retire. Just retire. Aren't you tired? That's my kids. That's all they ever say to me. Are you tired? Hell yes, I'm tired. I'm a pastor and a consultant, and I got to listen to your crap. Yes, I'm tired. What's your point? What is your point? I ought to be tired. That's what we ought to be. That's what you are when you spend all of yourself on a field. You're tired at the end and victorious. Amen? Yes, I'm tired. I want to go out of the world tired. I don't want to go out refreshed. I want to go out kicking and screaming. Amen? I don't give up. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the mystery doctrine of the church age, the hidden wisdom which God the Father predestined before the ages to our glory. The mystery Paul speaks of is not mysterious at all. It's a truth that God held back until the right time, deciding in eternity past exactly the right time to reveal the truth. Human beings do not understand divine wisdom on their own. I don't believe you heard me, so I'm going to say it again. See, the difference between believers and unbelievers is the Spirit, because the Spirit helps us understand divine wisdom. We don't understand divine wisdom on our own. It's made understandable to us by God the Holy Spirit, who guides believers into all the truth, just as Jesus promised. You know, when I go on vacations, I spend a lot of time alone. And, God said it's not good for man to be alone, so I'll make a helper suitable for him. And I understand that. I understand it, because when you're alone, all you do is think about stuff. And when you're with a woman, she's talking in your ear, so you can't think about stuff. Amen? Can I get an amen, ladies? Come on, you magpies, say amen. Women talk 25,000 words a day. Men, 12. We're through talking to you, still got 13,000 more to say. But, you know, but you're what'd you say, Denise? What did she say, Rick? I didn't hear her.
I said it helps your listening
skills. Yeah, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You feel like you're choking to death, you know, because of the way women tell stories, because they don't get to the point. They build and build and build and build and build and build and build. It's like, shut up, please. What? I don't want to learn how to do that. I would kill myself.
You should intend on
the basis. Yeah, now I don't even remember what the hell I was telling you. But no, when I'm alone, I think a lot. And I think about all these things and how God just reveals things to us little by little. He doesn't tell us when we're going to die. He just unfolds our life just nice and slowly in little bite-sized chunks so that we can take it all in. And it's just beautiful the way he does things. But I was thinking specifically this time about how when I was an unbeliever, I was lost. And I was not looking for God when I was lost. But he was looking for me. He had all these righteous people already, and here I was, this lost person. And he left the righteous people to come and find me in the ghetto. That's amazing when you just stop to think about that. And none of you were seeking God. None of you. He sought you out. And then we got to sit and read unbelievers talk about, oh, the truth of God can't be known. Shut up. Go back in your hole, pull the wool over your head, and shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Get your head in the Bible. Get in front of a pastor and open your ears and shut your mouth and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because God wants to reveal things to us. And so this mystery that Paul speaks of is not mysterious. God reveals truth at the proper time and makes truth understandable through God the Holy Spirit, who guides us, just like Jesus promised in John 16. 1 Corinthians 2:8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age comprehend. For if they had understood God's wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. The unspiritual are blind to the real truth. Because if they weren't, they would have recognized Jesus Christ for exactly who he is, God in human form. And they would have never orchestrated his crucifixion. As believers in Christ who study his word, we look at world events and we know that there is a shadow organization of humans operating behind the scenes, guided by the forces of evil in the heavenlies, trying to create their own power. That's what's trying to orchestrate getting Donald Trump out of office. That's not a political statement. One of my Jewish friends asked me, why is it that when Obama made all of these anti-Semitic remarks and did these things that were against the Jews in Israel, why didn't the media say anything? It's a great question. Because as a nation, the United States of America is not to be anti-Semitic. We are not. Israel is our friend. The Jewish race is God's chosen race of people. Israel is his chosen nation. We're not anti-Semitic. Why didn't anybody say anything then? Why weren't people raised up and balling up their fist about a president who was against Israel? You know why. That was my answer. You know why. All these rulers of this world are going to be destroyed by God one by one at the proper time. Human wisdom is anti-Christ. It seeks to blot out the fact that there is one and only one God. Yet no matter how hard human power strives, it is not more powerful than God's ability to thwart it. Evil always plays right into God's hands because evil makes it clear how wonderful God's good is. Do you think for a second that anybody who was crucifying Christ knew that he was going to win the creator-creature conflict with that? They didn't know because they weren't discerning spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:9, just as it is written, things which the unbeliever's eye has not seen, and things which the unbeliever's ear has not heard, and things which have not entered the heart of unbelieving man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, believers in Christ. The difference between believers and unbelievers, believers see things that unbelievers don't through the power of God the Holy Spirit. Temporary power, earthly power, bends to eternal power. Evil may seem to triumph in this world, but real power, the divine power of the Spirit of God, always wins. Who knew that what appeared as a victory for the human rulers, the cross and Christ's crucifixion, was really the strategic victory in the creator-creature conflict? God knew. The cross is the ultimate overthrow of the world and its pseudo-power. How does God reveal divine knowledge? Through the difference maker, God the Holy Spirit. So all of you out there who have health issues and the medical community has told you there's no answer, I say bull. I say there is a spiritual answer. God controls history. And he certainly controls you and your life. 1 Corinthians 2:10. For believers in Christ, God the Father revealed these things of biblical wisdom to us through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of the thinking of God the Father. The difference between unbelievers and believers is the Spirit. Believers have the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who among humans knows the thoughts of a human except for the spirit of a human which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God the Father no one knows except the Holy Spirit of God. Introspection has its value. This is a time of the year when we go into introspection. It has its value, but not much. I'm one of the most introspective people that you will ever meet, and I tell you, introspection does not have much value. Much of our introspection is going deep inside to listen to the flesh. The difference maker, God the Holy Spirit, talks to believers through the Word of God. That's why I want you to listen to the lessons three times. Because every time you listen to a lesson, all of it, the music, the announcements, everything, God is talking to you. And when we reflect on God's Word, we learn the deep, intimate, and personal and supernatural plans that God has for those who love him. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Now we believers in Christ have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God the Father, so that we may comprehend the things freely given to us by God the Father. God the Father wants us to know his private thoughts. That's what intimacy is. And we don't get to know the thoughts of God by filtering his thoughts through human wisdom. That's what parents want. Parents want their kids to know them intimately. Parents want their kids to ask them questions. Parents want their kids to comprehend the reason that parents made certain decisions. You know, my decisions as a parent, all of them could have been wrong, but they were the ones I chose. Why did I choose those decisions? Why did I handle my kids like I handled them? I had intention in handling them that way. And the kids react in emotion. Oh, I didn't like that. Or, you know, it's not Facebook. I like that. I didn't like that. It's not Facebook. But your parents were doing something. They had a program with you. Do you know what the program was? And are you learning it so that when you have kids, you can have a program? Because those guys don't come with an owner's manual. They're a pain in the ass. And they don't come with an owner's manual. And they got their own ideas about how great everything they think is and how dumb everything you think is. You better have a program. 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things we speak about, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by God the Holy Spirit, who combines spiritual thoughts, like the gospel message, with spiritual words, preaching, given by God the Holy Spirit. Believers in Christ are directed by God the Holy Spirit. When believers listen to anyone other than the Spirit, they are violating themselves. I don't believe you heard me. So I'm going to say it again. When believers in Christ are directed by God the Holy Spirit, and when believers listen to anyone other than the Spirit, they are violating themselves. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, the unspiritual unbeliever, doesn't accept the things of the Holy Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. And he can't understand them because they're spiritually examined. Without God the Holy Spirit's help, no one can understand God, and especially not the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he who is spiritual examines all things with the help of the Spirit, yet he himself is examined by no one, and especially not by unbelievers. What unbelievers think does not matter to me, because to unbelievers, believers in Christ are stupid. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Well, here's how stupid I am. Who has come to know the mind of the Lord? Me. And who will instruct the Lord? Not me. But we believers in Christ have the mind of Christ in the Word of God in the Bible. We have the mechanism to be intimate with God through the Word of God. We have a supernatural power at our disposal in the Bible, the Word of God, the truth, the inerrant canon of Scripture. Do you use that power? Let 2020 be the year that you use that power. Take Deacon Denny's advice. Have 2020 vision this year. And the way to get 2020 vision is to listen to the Spirit, to be propelled and guided by the Spirit, who wants you to have exceeding and abundantly beyond anything that you could ever ask or think. Well, the closing moments of our study today are a reminder that God wants you. And what he wants from you is that you make the most important decision of your life. So the closing moments of the study are for the benefit of anyone who does not have a personal relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want you to know that God wants you. What's going to happen to you when you close your eyes in this life? What happens to you when you hear that word, hospice? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? Many think the key to getting to heaven is to be a good person. According to this standard, a bad person goes to hell. The Bible obliterates this delusion. The Bible says we're all bad people. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, all in union with Adam at physical birth, and that is every human being, are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. Your condition at physical birth is not your fault, but it is your circumstance. Well, the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ did something about your problem, because he doesn't want anyone to go to the lake of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. Instead, he is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance. A voluntary change of mind about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord provides human beings with the Bible to illuminate the path to heaven. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 say this, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, the Bible. But these things written here have been written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Son of God in human form, and that by believing in him, you may have the resurrection life in his name. The Bible contains the Lord's exact thinking. So how can you get to heaven? Right where you sit right now, you can tell God the Father, even if you have a headache, You can tell God the Father that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the moment of eternal life for you. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Who is this God that saves you? The Apostle Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. He says, "I, Paul, delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures." Believing in Jesus Christ is your acknowledgement that you can't do a thing to get to heaven on your own. Being a good person does not get you to heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says, "If salvation is by grace," and of course it is no longer on the basis of your works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If you have to work for a free gift, then the work makes you worthy of the gift. In salvation, there is no work you could do that is impressive to God. The Lord would never allow you to save yourself. The one way, the only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, "I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, eternal life. And no one comes to the Father in heaven but through believing in me." So it's wise to let God save you, because once God does a thing, it stands finished forever. He never changes his mind. So heed the warning in John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on you, on him. Are you ready to join me in heaven when you close your eyes in this life? I say yes, do it now. Look, I challenge you, believers in Christ, to take that gospel message, to print it out, and to give it to somebody this week. I challenge you to do that. Do you hear me, Ariana? I challenge you to give the gospel message to somebody this week. Print it out and hand it to somebody. You don't even have to say anything. If you don't want, if you're too lazy to print stuff out, take a book and you will be saved, and hand it to somebody this week. And just watch. You don't even have to say anything. All right. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17 take us into our closing song. Here's what they say. "Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" Jesus is the Son of Man. It's one of the many titles we use to describe him. Matthew 16, 14, "The disciples said, 'Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' Matthew 16, 15, "Then Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say I am?' Matthew 16, 16, Simon Peter answered," he was always the first one to speak up, "he said, 'You are the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Son of the living God,' which means you are deity." Matthew 16, 17, "And Jesus said to Peter, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona.'" Barjona means son of Jonah. "Because flesh and blood, human beings, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you." Here's June Murphy to sing the title track of her latest CD, "Jesus Christ is God."
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. life, and the life was a light in the mist. The light shines in the darkness did not comprehend.
Messages that a song could communicate, that is one of the most powerful. Jesus Christ is God. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just thank you for sending God the Son to take on the form of a human being, Jesus Christ, and to be the Savior of the world. And we thank you for all the things that he did at the cross, shedding his blood as a sacrifice for us so that we could have the possibility of being reconciled to you and the possibility of having eternal life if we so choose. And we just thank you for giving us an opportunity today to learn your word and to let God the Holy Spirit take those words and put them deep in our soul and use them as a rudder to guide us on the path of righteousness. And we just pray that as we go forward into the world that we aren't selfish, that we look at the people around us and we notice whether they are believers in Christ or unbelievers. And if they're believers, that we invite them to come and listen to the word. And if they are unbelievers, that we invite them to come and listen to the gospel message. And that we do it now and not later, because tomorrow is guaranteed to none of us. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.